running up. I'm going to ask that everyone be very quiet. Teenagers, set up on the front.
Sure.
All the young folks now in the front row, set up very still and quiet. I'm going to read just a few lines again from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, the Christian life is, I guess, the greatest paradox in the entire world. The world looks at us one way. Not people, you've heard me say this, but my aunt, she's a blessed, sweet lady, a sister of my mother. She's in heaven now, a dear, sweet lady. Her husband was a millionaire and very wealthy people. And when I first began preaching years ago, my aunt came to mother and she said, Costell, that's my mother's name, Costell, Jack is a preacher, isn't he? And mother said, yes, Jimmy is, ain't Jimmy? Yes, he is. She said, Jack doesn't drink, does he? And my mother said, no, no, he doesn't. And she said, Jack doesn't dance, does he? And my mother said, no. She said, Jack doesn't go to movies, does he? And mother said, no. She said, Jack doesn't smoke, does he? And mother said, no. She said, Jack doesn't play cards, does he? And mother said, no. And my aunt wiped a tear from her eye and said, poor Jack. Poor Jack. Did you know that's the way the world looks at us? Huh? We don't even get to go out and get so drunk on Saturday night. We have a hangover and vomit all morning on Sunday morning. Poor us. We don't even have to take dope to get happy. We can get high on Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. We can take a trip on the old rugged cross, you see. Folks say, my neighbors, they leave on Sunday morning at 8:30. They don't get back home till, I'm not going to tell you, discourage your visitors. But they don't get back home till late in the afternoon. I recall when I first came to pastor this church, one of the men, very wealthy man, came to me and he said, Pastor, I'm a nervous wreck. He said, you know, said used to, before you came, we used to get home for 12 o'clock, or get out at 12 o'clock. Now he said, you know, last Sunday, my neighbor across the street, a Lutheran, last Sunday, my neighbor went to Sunday school, stayed for church, came home, changed clothes, ate lunch, took a nap, watched the ball game about the time I got home from church. And folks, look at us. And a Jewish lady said to me not long ago, she said, I drove by at 9:15 last Sunday night, and you were still hollering. And folks, they feel sorry for us. Carry an old black book, no pictures in it, and give 10% of all we make to the preacher. And go down there and all the family gets up, all of us hollers at them for 35 minutes on Sunday morning and on Sunday night, a little longer. What a life. They don't understand it. The Lord knew they wouldn't, and that's why he said, as unknown, yet well known. Yeah, we're not too well known here. We don't make the headlines. That's for the hippie crowd. They get the television space and the headlines in the papers. But we're well known somewhere. As dying? Yeah, that's what the world says. What a dead life! But the Bible says we're whole, we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. I can recall, just like yesterday, my mother would go to church, Fernwood Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. When I was the age of these boys down here and younger, my mother started crying right in the middle of the sermon, always did. I'd look up and I'd say, Mama, what's wrong? And she'd say, I'm happy. And it used to bother me to death. I used to wonder, what in the world makes mother so happy she cries? I laugh when I'm happy. Mother never said, son, you can have an ice cream cone today. And I'd go, oh, I'm so happy about that. It just never affected me that way. I laugh when I'm happy. But now I understand. Go to church and as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. If I took this, and I don't know about you visitors, but if I took our people this morning and held them up with the heels and shook them, nothing would fall out of the chain. You know why? We're in the building program. Oh, a few other things that fall out, like your note is due in 3 days at Hoosier Bank. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. I was in Cape May, New Jersey this week, and I want to talk to you this morning. And I think you'll be blessed if you'll hear what I have to say. I was in Cape May, New Jersey. Crowd wasn't too big. Storm Agnes was coming through, and it was about, but in fact, it was on its way when I left. Weather was terrible. But a young man came to me, and his wife was with him. Married man, had a couple of children, I think. He said, "Dr. Hiles, I've been to your church." I went, I think he said, last summer. "I want you to know something." Girls, now you listen on the front. I want you to know something," he said. "I was in your church, a stranger, and one of your couples, came up, and girl, sit still, look at me, and you keep looking at me." And he said, "I want you to know something. When I was in your church, one of your fine families came to me and said, 'You folks are visiting?'" And we said, "Yes." And they said, "Would you have lunch with us today?" He said, "Dr. Hiles, I've been to churches across this country, and no one has ever been that kind to me." He said, "I wanted you to know about that. No one else would ever have known. But a stranger just walked up and said, 'Would you have lunch with me today?'" And I got thinking about it. And I'm not talking like this morning because I haven't studied, because I've studied much of the week. I've got a lot of sermons, but I feel impressed and led to chat with you this morning about uncovering unknown people. Unknown people. You know, the Bible has a wonderful way about putting in headlines that which would be on page 2 or in the warheads, maybe in our local newspapers. What other book would give headlines to a little lady that gave 2 mites to the Lord? Or a little fellow who gave his lunch basket 5 loaves and 2 fishes? What other book would put in headlines about a little maid who told the captain of the host of the king of Syria, Naaman, about a Baptist preacher up the way that could heal him if he'd go and present himself? So I've been doing some investigating this week. Investigation is a Greek word that means snooping. And I've been doing some snooping this week. I'd like to uncover it this morning. You know, people say, a fellow said this morning, very kindly, he came to hear one of the great preachers of America. Now, I don't believe that, and he doesn't either, but I said, what? Wherever you find a great church, you find great people. And you find a lot of things that nobody ever uncovers. There are things that go on in this church, you do not dream what goes on. And I'm not going to begin this morning to tell you. I'm just going to tell you what I found investigating some things that are happening, unknown things, unknown people. And I'm going to make them known this morning. Some of them will get mad at me because they don't want anybody to know what I'm going to tell this morning. But you'll just have to get mad because I'm going to just tell it. Just, as you say in Texas, just flat out tell it this morning. I found a little lady in our church named Mrs. Healy. Unknown, but Mrs. Healy took a little 6-year-old boy who was homeless into her home. It's been almost 5 years ago now. I didn't know it for 4 years. Almost 5 years ago. Well, you say, what's unusual about that? I'd love to have a little 6-month-old boy. I'd love to have a baby in my home. Oh, one that has epilepsy and cerebral palsy both. Yes. A little boy named Eddie. And for almost 5 years, that lady has been giving that little baby boy that wasn't her own treatments. What do you call it when Governor Wallace is taken? I've forgotten all of a sudden. Therapy. And she has spent literally thousands of hours nursing that little boy with cerebral palsy and epilepsy to some normal health. But that isn't all. She found a little baby named Tony. He's a spastic and couldn't talk. And she's got the boy now where he can say just a little bit. Just a little spastic fellow who couldn't talk. And there are others, too. I found that. Nobody knows that. I didn't know it myself. She didn't broadcast it, and she didn't want anybody to know about it, except unknown. I've got to see. Listen, I wish the television cameras would point toward that instead of some of these long-haired mops trying to destroy America. I also found something else. I found a name that will not be listed in the Hall of Heroes with Elijah and Moses and Joseph and John and Paul and Peter. But put this name down. Overstreet. Overstreet. Don't forget that name. The Lord hasn't forgotten it. Unknown, but well known. Are they late in our church? I wonder how old the Overstreets are. What would you think? 25? He's your age. 64. How old are you? 30. Between 25 and 30, Ms. Overstreet is. And she became pregnant, expecting a baby. And she went to the doctor one day. She couldn't feel movement. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, the baby's dead. We'll have to take the baby. But that was on, I think, Friday. And Mrs. Overstreet said, could we wait till Monday? And the doctor said, why? And she said, because I work in the Sunday school, and I have my job for this Sunday. And that little lady came to Sunday school that morning with a dead baby in her body and performed every duty that she would perform on Sunday. And then the baby was born dead shortly after. I uncovered that. Isn't that a wonderful... You know, you think about First Baptist Church, Dr. Hiles is doing a great work. No, hundreds and thousands of Overstreets are doing a great work here at First Baptist Church. Unknown? Yeah. I'll bind you one thing. They made headlines in heaven that Sunday morning.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it! A little lady, nearly 30, lost a baby, but she wouldn't have surgery.
Till after she fulfilled her duties on the Lord's day. Unknown, but well known. I found months ago, a beautiful story about one of our ladies. In fact, this is one of the great stories of the history of our church. One morning, before this building was built, it's been now about, 11 years ago, I guess, the old auditorium, a little short couple, a little fella, about that tall, and his wife about that tall, little blonde-headed fella. Must have been, let's see, at the time, I guess he was 30. Came in, sat right over here on the left side in the corner. I walked to the door here that morning for Sunday school to teach my class. Saw a little blonde-headed fella. I said, my name's Jack Hiles. He gave me his name and didn't think any more about it than would any one of other, hundreds and thousands of other visitors who've been in our services. And he said to them, I didn't know him from Adam. I said, where are you from? He said, Michigan. And good night. Everybody comes to our church is from Michigan or Kentucky. And when the fire raged and that building was destroyed, the building over here destroyed, I got home. There was a letter waiting from that man and a check for $500 telling him that he left me. But wait a minute. He told me this story the next time he saw me. He said, Dr. Hiles, I came to your church. And he said, a little lady. I said, a little lady? A lady. Mrs. Clifton, one of our fine ladies, one of the sweetest ladies we have. He said, that little lady came up to me and said, what is your name? And he said, my name is Russell Anderson. This is my wife. At the time, the fellow was worth $4,000. That's his worth, $4,000, total worth. And she said, Miss Anderson, would you and your family, two little girls, would you and your wife and little girl, would you come to my house to eat lunch today? He said, Dr. Hiles, we had never seen the lady. She had never seen us. We were total strangers. And she asked us to come and have lunch with her. And we couldn't, I don't know whether they did or not, but said, only think that we couldn't, but said, we were amazed at that kind of hospitality. That man, listen to me now, that man has already given $250,000 to Hiles Anderson College. That man. You know, I was thinking last night, maybe we ought to name that the Hiles Anderson Clifton College. Huh?
God began to bless his business. I know he's given $500,000 to this church since that day. Now, what knitted his heart to this work here? One little lady,
who, by the way, can fry the best okra in this world.
He said, I don't like okra. I like it both fried and boiled. Fried, it's the best tasting stuff in the world. And boiled, it's the easiest stuff to get down in the whole world. Unknown,
yet well known. I kept on trying. I found about a little late in our church the age of Becky. And she's a little girl. She had one of the sweetest, she still does, always has one of the sweetest smiles of any child in our church. And I had dreams for her galore. But she graduated from high school. She went to work. And I was disappointed. In fact, I was worried about her. Her name? Pam Stooksberry. I uncovered this. I was disappointed, Pam. I knew Pam ought to go to college. I knew Pam ought to become something for God. I knew that. One day, Pam came to my office to talk with me, and I said, Pam, why didn't you go to college? She said, oh, I don't know. I said, now, Pam, why didn't you? And she began to weep, and she said, because my sister, Gail, wanted to go to Hammond Baptist High School and couldn't afford it. And so I went to work rather than go to college, so I could send my sister to Hammond Baptist High School. Unknown, yet well known. I kept on uncovering, and I thought about the Fetters. Are the Fetters here this morning? No, not Hank and Linda, but their folks. They're here back here. Nobody ever knows much about them, and I should have said this years ago. In the Fetters' home, Mrs. Fetters, dear Mrs. Fetters, is in heaven now, was sick for years, and they her daughter-in-law, God bless that lady, her daughter-in-law waited on her mother-in-law. I mean, with tenderness and loving care, for years, but that isn't all. There's a brother. Let's see, Jim is your brother, Mr. Fetters, right? And a brother, Jim. Jim is not mentally developed completely. Jim is blind. How long has he been blind? 20 years. And Jim, that blind man who's not, but sort of educable slow. Jim is now 68 years of age. And they've waited on that man hand and foot. Never forget it. I was in the home one day and Jim reached up and felt my face and he said, you're so pretty. That man's got the best feeder in America. And he said, you're so pretty. Unknown? Nobody knows about it. No, it's never in the sword of the Lord. It's never in some religious paper. It's always my picture, my name. But there wouldn't be any me. There weren't people like that who stay at home and nobody knows about it. And they don't want anybody to know about it. But I'll tell you one thing. Up in heaven, they know about it. Unknown. Well, I kept on snooping. The name Arlene Beck doesn't mean much to most of you. It'll never be in big headlines anywhere because Arlene's a little bus kid. Who brought Arlene to our Sunday school? Arlene, are you here? Who? Nancy Dooley and Jerry. Brought a little bus kid. But she wasn't a normal little bus kid. She grew up and became a lovely Christian girl and went to Bob Jones University. And while she was at Bob Jones, she got sick and she went to the doctor and the doctor took tests and found out she had cancer at the tender age of about 19. She had cancer surgery. She came home for a while. As far as we know, she's healed of the cancer now, thank God. But back to Bob Jones, recovering. And not much money and not much way to make a living and just a few dollars for a mother who has to work to make a living for the family and just what money God could give her. But I got a letter not long ago. I said, well, the house, I'm so excited about Baptist City. I wanted to send an offering. And that little bus kid who's had cancer sent an offering to Baptist City. Unknown, yet well known. I could go on and on and on and on. Tonight I will. But I could go on and on and on and on. And I can tell you about Jim Crawl. Yeah, I know Jim's got a loud mouth. But he's got a heart as big as his mouth. Jim Crawl. Work. I mean work. Day and night. So went a trip to the Holy Land. And he won it. Brought over 1,000 visitors in 10 weeks. I think it was. 700, 800. Anyway, over 800 visitors in 10 weeks. And worked day and night. And then he won the trip to the Holy Land. And gave it to his bus driver. Unknown. Yep. Well known. Then there's Dr. Mrs. Streeter. Dr. Streeter has been in medical school ever since he's been in our church. Graduated just not long ago. And everybody knows that as a doctor, a fella can now afford a nice house. But Dr. and Mrs. Jean, Dr. and Mrs. Dennis Streeter, Dennis and Jean, decided not to buy the house. They decided rather to send some bus kids to school and pay their tuition. And so they don't live in a house like most doctors enjoy. They live in a modest home like they've lived in going through school. Why? So some bus kids could go to Hammond Baptist High School. And then there's Aunt Lou Peterson, who has a few dollars a month is all she has, but once a month I get a letter written with the quivering handwriting of a lady in her 80s and a $5 bill for the radio broadcast every month. And a loving and lovely note. And then there's Viola Young. Viola Young, who's she? One of our ladies in our church. Viola Young wanted us to have a high school and a grade school, and she wanted to give to it, and so she got a job at McDonald's Hamburgers, and she made their 6 billion hamburgers. Why? Every dime she made working to just pay enough money to make it possible to have a Hammond Baptist High School and a Hammond Baptist Grade School. That isn't all. You don't know this, and I didn't know it for a long time. But I was across the country recently. One of the sweetest things was said. A fellow said, tell that lady thank you for the apple pie. I said, apple pie? Yes, he said, the lady in your church that works at McDonald's bought 3 apple pies for every pastor at pastor school last year. And every pastor that come to McDonald's, she gave a 3 apple pie. Nobody knows about that. Oh, nobody but Elijah and James and John the Baptist and Peter and James and John and Stephen and Joseph and Jacob and Isaiah and Isaac and Daniel and Zechariah and Haggai. Nobody knows about that except Noah and Adam and Abel. Nobody knows about that except God's people, Moody and Sunday and Spurgeon. Nobody knows about that except all of heaven, unknown, yeah, but well known. And then there's, I won't tell this one because I think I'd get in trouble if I told this one. There's that lady in our church. I know who she is, and nobody else, I guess, knows it. I know who she is. We found out the Fisk didn't have a piano, and she wanted the Fisk children to have a piano. And so she sends to the front door of the Fisk house one day a brand new piano. The Fisk don't know who did it yet, but I know. I won't tell it because I think she really wouldn't want me to tell. Unknown, but well known. And then there's, and I hesitate to say this, but I must. Not because he's my boy, but because he did it. There's this unknown little story that I think I'll tell. Linda, who's 14, Linda Hiles, who's 14. Well, Linda's not old enough yet to go with the boys on a full-time basis, and it came time for the Valentine's banquet. And Linda wanted to go with a boy, and the boy asked her to go. But she wasn't old enough yet to date like that. And David found out about it. David had a date, and David had a buddy that was going to double date with him, his age. But David found out that Linda couldn't go with her date. And so David slipped upstairs alone and called the couple he was going to double date with and canceled out. And then called the boy 3 or 4 years younger than he who was going to go with Linda and asked him if he had double date. And he went to the Valentine's banquet with his sister. Unknown, but well known, so she could get to go with her boyfriend to the Valentine's banquet. Then there's Mrs. McCarroll and Mr. McCarroll, who every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, my knock on my study comes, and Mrs. McCarroll comes in, and she's juiced me some apple juice, a quart of it. And you let that stuff set for about a year, and it's great. And she brings me a quart of apple juice and a big sack of carrots so I can juice them.
and some nuts and some dates. And every Wednesday night, a beautiful big salad. And why?
She wants to keep a preacher healthy. That's why.
She's been doing it now for years. I mean, every Wednesday night. And every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning. Why? So a preacher can have fresh apple juice to drink and fresh carrots to juice and fresh salad and good food to take care of our preacher.
That's why. Nobody knows about it, but whether it's snowing or sunshining, whether it's hot or cold, 100 or 20 below zero, there's a knock on the door. And then also, a little vase she'll have with her, a little jar, and some flowers in the jar, so everybody who comes in my study can enjoy beautiful flowers when they're in season, which is 2 weeks a year here. But
unknown,
yet well known.
That isn't all.
There's Mrs. Ruskowski, who decided to give a shower for John O'Brien's bride. John O'Brien's bride? Does Mrs. Ruskowski know her?
No.
No. They live in Ohio. But Mrs. Ruskowski decided that she'd give a shower for someone she didn't know. And then there's Mr. and Mrs. Mitsuka and Dexter and Mrs. Graves, who for many years have given everything. The House Publications, my books and so forth, have printed tens of thousands of pieces of material. Haven't cost-charged one thin dime so they can have a part in getting the word out and stirring preachers and changing churches. Unknown, but well known. And then there's Kay O'Brien. I happened to find out as I snooped, Mrs. Schoep has had to work sometimes day and night because her duties require to. Not her duties, no, it's her love for Christ. Mrs. Schoep works on our staff and she's here every morning before anybody gets here, and usually is here and everybody leaves and comes back at night and comes back on Saturdays. And I'm sure she works 70 hours a week in her job. And Kay O'Brien found out about it and asked if she could clean her house free.
Huh?
Yeah, just a kid. Just a teenage girl. Asked if she could go clean her house because Mrs. Schoep spent so much time at the church that Kay wanted to clean her house. And then there's Mrs. Caesar. You'll never know all she does for people. And Mrs. Meredith, you'll never know all she does for people. And George Houston Gay, who visits and visits and visits. Everybody that's in trouble gets a visit from George Houston Gay. Isn't that strange?
Most folks, a lot of folks find they get their kicks from Seagram 7.
Our folks get their kicks from serving others. You say, what makes folks like that?
Why would somebody want to work at McDonald's hamburger place and work hours and hours and not get one dime for themselves?
Why would some teenage girl who could be out with a gang,
why would she be over in a house scrubbing and waxing and cleaning and washing walls when she could be out with a crowd? Why? Why would somebody walk with a fist to have a piano and just have one delivered to his house? Why? I'll tell you why.
Because one day they came in contact with him about him, Brother Tobin's name a while ago. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed our lives completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Sweetest note instead of song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. What a difference he makes. What a difference he makes. He makes you want to give instead of get. He makes you want to let go instead of grabbing. He makes you want to help somebody else instead of want help for yourself. He makes you want to share instead of keep. He makes you want to serve instead of be served. He makes you want to say, let me help rather than help me. What is it? The strange man of Galilee came walking the shores of Galilee and the sandy trails of the mountains of Judea and taught us it's more blessed to give than to receive. who taught us the servant's greatest of all, who never made many headlines, and whose people never make many headlines. But what a difference he makes. Say, did you know what you're looking for? We found. We found it. You who had to go out and have a needle last night to make you high, we found what you're looking for. You had to go out last night and get drunk to escape, a way of escape. We found what you're looking for. And it's not by escaping. It's by facing reality with somebody. And that somebody is wonderful, wonderful Jesus. In the heart, he implanted us all. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. He'll change your life this morning. If you trust him. If you're not saved, let him do it. If you are saved, why don't you enter into that great group of unknown people who silently, quietly, without fanfare or publicity or for the desire for either, go about serving others and caring for others. Unknown, yet well. The many cases that I have not completed my investigation on yet, I haven't found out yet who gave that $50 to one of our new couples who came to college here. I haven't found out who did that yet. I haven't found out who it was that opened their homes to a couple who came from college here and then let a couple with several kids stay in their home for a while because they had no place to stay. I haven't found out who did that yet. And there are hundreds of cases I'll never know about. But you mark it down. He who notes the course of every sparrow's flight. He who feeds even the unclean raven. And he who clothes the lilies of the field. He who found Elijah alone under the juniper tree and fed him. That God knows everything you do. Unknown, but he knows. And one day when the great revealing and uncovering takes place, I've got a sneaking suspicion that the Rices and the Joneses and the Robertsons, and if I can be included in that great group, the Hyamses, will take a back seat. And the Triftons and the Caesars and the Youngs will take their place. Unknown. Yet well, let us pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, preacher, aren't you afraid to preach a sermon like that? Afraid you'll leave somebody out? No. Because the crowd I'm talking about would rather be left out. Aren't you afraid you'll offend somebody? Not including them? No. The kind of people I preached about this morning are the kind you'll come near offending if you include them. With God, we all could enter into that group. I'm going to tell you something, and I didn't mean to tell it, and I don't say it because I want you to know it. I was included this year in the outstanding personalities of the Midwest. I'd rather be included with God's people who give. I'd rather have my name listed with the list of people I gave this morning. That's where you'll find your great Christians. That's where you'll find the headlines that are made in heaven. Why don't you quit living for self? Why don't you quit living for yourself? Why don't you decide to join that great crowd of people who are poor that make many rich. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Having nothing yet possessing all things. Unknown yet well known. Why don't you in the quiet of your own heart this morning say, oh my God, I've been too selfish. Oh my God, I have so much and I give so little. Why don't you say it? Why don't you learn what it is? Tiptoe to someone who's too busy, they can't keep their house clean, and clean it for them. Cancel a date with your gang so your sister can go to the sweetheart bank. To earn a trip to the Holy Land and give it to another, Mr. Franz is giving his to his mother-in-law. To work another job to pay for a school or give preachers apple pies. To take care of a blind person. Take a little 6-month-old baby with epilepsy and cerebral palsy and spend literally thousands of hours manipulating. Trying to help. Take a little child that's spastic and can't speak and spend hundreds of hours teaching him how to say one word and find all the joy in the world over that one word that little child finally says. That's where you'll find what you're looking for. Well, the Savior said, he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Are you saved this morning? I'm not sure on that unknown but yet known ground. If you're not saved, the Savior who makes it all possible wants to be your Savior this morning. And we can show you how to be saved. If you're not a Christian this morning, you'd like to be, I want you to raise your hand with every eye closed and say by raising your hand, I'd like to have the Christ that makes this possible. Would you raise your hand for prayer, please? All over the building. God bless you. I see you. And God bless you. Are there others? All over the building. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to have the Christ that makes people live like this, that changes people from self to others. Would you raise your hand, please? I'll pray for you. God bless you. Are there others? Father, I do pray for these and others. May this morning they say yes to Christ. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. I'm going to ask you if you would receive Jesus to leave your seat and come toward the aisle. I'd like to meet you here at the altar. I can show you how to go to heaven when you die. Won't you come? Then those this morning who are here and you're saved but you've never been baptized, you come this morning and say, I'm going to obey Christ in baptism. We can baptize you this morning. And those that ought to join our church by transfer of membership, you come this morning. And we'll be happy to receive you if you're saved. On the first stanza, we're going to sing, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him. You say, how can I surrender all to Jesus? Surrendering all to others. Inasmuch as you've done it under one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Father, let bring down these aisles those that need to receive Christ, those that need to get baptized, those that need a church home. And may each of us this morning slip out of our sins and into others. Amen. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing, would you come, as the choir sings. All to Jesus.